Oh. Okay, so we're on Daf Chof Vov on the base. Let's begin this sugir again of Hachoshud Ba'arayis. It's about 10 lines from the bottom, maybe a bit more. Omer of Nachman, the last word on the line, Hachoshud. If somebody is Choshud, Al Ho'arayis, Kosher Le'edus. So for the moment, we were translating Choshud Al Arayis to mean that there were rumors circulating. There were rumors circulating that he was involved in Arayis, although there is no clear evidence. So if you remember, we said yesterday that a rumor, at least of this type, has some weight in Halacha. And the proof is that a person actually gets Malkus just for the rumor. Obviously, not Malkus min HaTorah, but Al Kaponim Malkus midrabbanon. So certainly when there's a rumor, it cannot be dismissed as worthless, as of no value. It has some weight, lahalacha. And therefore, this is the question, will he become posel le'edus as a result? Now, really, we're launching a very big question over here, which we hinted to yesterday. We're going to see more about this in the continuation of the Gemara. Until now, we have seen strictly that all the cases of posel le'edus have to be money related. And the reason is because the Torah says chomos. So even if it's not absolute chomos, chomos means gezel, even if it's not absolute gezel, it's gezel midrabbanon, etc., 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 that may well render him posel for edus. But it's got to be money related. All the cases we've seen, we're talking about people who are over averas because of their desire to increase their wealth. So the question over here is now, for the very first time, lechayra, we are dealing with a case which lechayra is not money related. By the way, we did learn yesterday, and we'll come back to it, mitzvah Hashem, on the next Omud, about somebody who eats chazir. Even though that's not what the Gemara was talking about. The Gemara was talking about accepting tzedakah from a goy, but Tosafot says, don't translate it as eating chazir. So we'll have to see about eating chazir. Is eating chazir considered money related? So even though, technically speaking, it's nothing to do with money, but we'll see later on, actually it is. Because one of the temptations to eat forbidden food is because it is that it's cheaper.
Cheaper.
Kosher food, which needs shechita and hashkacha, et cetera, is always more expensive. And therefore, sometimes it may well be that a person's desire to eat ma'acholos asurois, maybe they do stem from financial interests. So we'll have to discuss that. But either way, back to our case for the moment. When we're talking about choshud al aroyos, lechoira choshud al aroyos is not money related. He is being suspected, accused of immorality, which it may be a very severe avera, but lechoira has got nothing to do with chomos. So if you remember, that's exactly why Rav Nachman said that he's kosher for edus. If you have a look again at that Rashi, it's about the fifth or sixth last narrow line. Kosher le'edus, Rashi says, debo'inon rosho dechomos. You've got to have a rosho dechomos. And that was a strange thing, because in the next line of the Gemara, if you look back into the Gemara says, Omer of Sheshes,
Yes.
Oni Mori, can my master please respond? Arba'in bekatfei, 40 on his shoulder, v'kosher, and he's still going to be kosher? So if you remember yesterday, we asked, what exactly was Rav Sheshes' claim? Rav Sheshes says, can it be that he's going to get Malkus, 40 Malkus, and still be kosher for Eidos? How can that possibly be? So we asked yesterday, why can't that be? Even though he's getting Malkus, that may well be, but at the end of the day, Rav Nachman proposed a very simple claim, and that is, it's got to be chomos related. So how has Rav Sheshes countered that claim by saying, oh, but he gets Malkus, so what, but it's not chomos related? So Rav Sheshes seems to be announcing for us, for the very first time, that in fact he's disagreeing. It would seem to be, we have to see this more on the next Amud Amidst Hashem. It seems to be that Rav Sheshes in fact holds that it does not need to be strictly Hamas related. Again, let this be clear, Rabbi Yisrael. If Rav Sheshes agrees that in order to become Posel Eidus, it's got to be Hamas related, then what on earth did he mean when he said, oh, how can he be kosher, but he's getting Malkus? So what? But it's not Hamas related. Yeah, you're following the question?
Yes.
So it seemed to be that Rav Sheshes disagrees, and even though the Torah says Hamas, but maybe Midrabanan, even if it's not Hamas related, if it's an Avera, which is serious enough that it warrants some type of punishment, like in our case, then that itself would be enough to puzzle him for Eidos. We're going to see more about this in the continuation of the Gemara. So let's have a look now. We're on the last line, last word of the line, 10 lines from the bottom. The last word on the line is Omar. That's where we're up to, the word Omar. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava. So Rava now tells us a chidush. Umoide Rav Nachman le'inyan edus isha shehu pasul. Even though Rav Nachman just told us that what? That hachoshud al harayis is kosher for edus. Rava is telling us that even Rav Nachman, who's very meikel, and he says, you're kosher for Eidos, but he would also agree that it depends which Eidos. If it's Eidos concerning an Isha, some marital issue, then Rav Nachman would agree that he's posel Eidos. Why? Because he's clearly suspect in marital matters, because that is exactly what the rumor was about. The rumor, in fact, was precisely about marital matters. He's choshed al arayis. So even though Rav Nachman says he's kosher le'edos, that only means in financial issues. But on marital issues, even Rav Nachman would agree that he's posel because he's clearly suspect. He's clearly suspect. So, Umoider of Nachman le'inyan edos isha shehu posel. Now, Omer Ravina. So Ravina said, V'itema Rapapa. Some say it wasn't Ravina, it was Rapapa. Loi Omron, that was only said, Elo la'afuke. Avol le'iyula les lon bo. La'afuke means to take her out. Le'iyula means to bring her in. What does that mean, to take her out and to bring her in? If somebody is testifying about a woman, it could be in one of two directions. Either you're testifying that she is a divorcee, that's called la afuke, you are taking her out of the clutches of marriage, or in fact, you're coming to Beis Din to testify that no, she is in fact a married woman. I saw the kiddushin. Now, here we're talking about somebody who is suspect, and we know he's interested in noshim. In which case would I have to suspect that his testimony really is flawed and is based on a vested interest? That's only when he claims that she's not married. I'm taking her out. Oh, now I'm suspicious. Maybe really she's a married woman. And why are you testifying that she's not a married woman? Maybe you have your eye on her. Why should I suspect you? Because you're a choshud al arayis. But in the other case, when he's coming to testify that in fact she is a married woman, well, there's no reason to doubt his word. So what if he's choshud al arayis, but he's got no vested interest to say that she is a married woman? To the contrary, by saying so, it means that she's not available to him. So let's look at the Gemara again. Loi Omron Elo La'afuke. We only said that he's invalid and he's got some vested interest if he's coming to take her out. to bring her in, less lambo, there will be no concern. Look at Rashi on the very top line of the wide lines towards the end. La'afuke, if he's coming to take her out, loimar to say, mace ba'alo, if he comes to testify that the husband has now passed away, oi girusha, or that he divorced her, that's when we're concerned. The nichale, because it's convenient for him, leshavya, to make her pnuya. It's convenient for him to make her into a pnuya. Pnuya means into an unmarried woman. He's got a vested interest. We have to be suspicious that he's got some interest to render her unmarried. Why? The tehave shchicha lei, in order that she should be available to him. So there he's got every interest to come forth and testify and make up some baloney story about the husband died or that the husband divorced her. That way you're making her into an unmarried woman and available to him. That's when I'd have to be concerned. Says Rashi, but if it is li'iyula, if his testimony is in the opposite direction, he says, loimar ploini kidsha, if he comes and says there was some fellow Pliny who was Makadosh and she's now a married woman, well then clearly he's got no vested interest because to the contrary, now she's not available to him. So he hasn't served his interests at all. So I've got no reason to doubt his word. Asks the Gemara one word question, Pshita, isn't that Poshut? What is Rapapa being Makadosh? But there's a difference between Eidos to take her out and make her an unmarried woman as opposed to testimony that would make her a married woman. I mean, it's obvious. Isn't it overwhelmingly obvious? Why does Rav Papa feel the need to tell me that if he's testifying that she's actually a married woman, then he's believed? Well, obviously he's believed. He's got no self-interest whatsoever. He's got no agenda to render her a married woman. Says the Gemara, not so poshut, actually. Not so poshut. Do you know why? Mahu de tema. Because I might have thought that actually ho adifa lei. I might have thought that actually it is better for him. It is better for him to render her a married woman. Why? Why? What does he gain by testifying that she's a married woman? If indeed she's a married woman, it means that she's not available to him. So what gain does he have? What vested interest would he possibly have to say that she's a married woman? And the answer is, says the Gemara, the Ksiv, because of a famous pasuk in Mishlei, Mayim Genuvim Yimtaku. Sweet is the stolen water. There is something exciting, there is something attractive by being over an Issa. It's a very deep psychological viewpoint. In other words, if he can render her a married woman, and she's going to be considered by the Bezin as married woman, then there's something exciting from and attractive to him. What does he gain by the fact that she's married? She's no longer available to him. Yes, to the contrary, that makes it more of a thrill. Because it's now stolen water, who am I stealing her from her alleged husband? That makes it sweet. There is something extra sweet in the mouth by stolen water. So if I would have said that what? That Rav Papa was telling me that if he testifies that she's a married woman, he's obviously believed, says the Gemara, isn't that poshut? No, not so poshut. Because I might have thought that he has got a vested interest. He's got a vested interest to claim that she's a married woman. What does he gain by that? He gains by the fact that now she is stolen property and there's an extra thrill. Maybe he wants that. Remember, we're talking about somebody who's choshed al arayos and the sky's the limit. Wouldn't put anything past him. So maybe he really is trying to serve his own interests. Maybe he's coming to Beis Din and he's testifying that she's a married woman when really she's not, but he wants her to be considered married. What gain does he have by the fact that she's married? But if he now takes her, it's Mayim Genuvim. And that's what Rav Papa was teaching me, Komash Malon, that no. That's the Chiddush, says the Gemara, the Kama, the Kaima Hochi, Shchichale. The Kama, the Kaima Hochi, Shchichale. The Komash Malon of Rav Papa was that no, he is believed after all. Why? So I think this means, Rabbi Yosef, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. How did Rabbi Yosef, how do Art Scroll translate this line? The Kamo de Kaimi Hochi Shchichale
teaches us that as long as she remains so, that is unmarried, she's more readily available to him.
Right. In other words, yes, there is a certain thrill about taking stolen property. But at the end of the day, thrill or not thrill, she's definitely going to be more available to him if she's unmarried. So at the end of the day, he, again, we're suspicious that he's trying to serve his own interests. So he might well have two choices, either to consider a married woman, and then you have the cheap thrill of, if I can get my hands on her, she's stolen property. But on the other hand, if I can render her an unmarried woman, well, then she's forever available. So therefore, that's Rav Papa's chiddush. Even though it's true, there is a certain thrill, but at the end of the day, it's very, very limited, and it's much more in his interest to consider her unmarried. She's constantly available, and he is suspicious. He is suspect when it comes to arayos. And therefore, in the final analysis, Rav Papa says that only in the case when he's making her into a unmarried woman, thereby rendering her available to him constantly, that's where he is suspect. If, however, he is testifying that she's a married woman, which means, yeah, maybe there's some type of cheap thrill, but essentially she's not now going to be available to him. Well, if that's the case, then he's got not much to gain and he would be believed. Let's have a look at Rashi. Second wide line. Ho adifale. Maybe it would be better for him to tehave asuri oleho. Maybe it actually helps his cause to make her forbidden to him. Veloy to have a shchichele, even if she's not going to be constantly available. Why? What does he gain by that? Diksev mayim genuvim yimtoku, and therefore v'shikuri meshake, and therefore he's jolly well going to lie. So maybe there would be grounds to suspect that in that case he's also got some trick up his sleeve. Kamash Malani is no. In that case, we do believe him. Yes, Rabbi Larry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, why does it have to be one versus the other? In other words, if he's going to testify that she's not married, it makes sense that it should be puzzled because it's an isn't. Clearly, she's free for him. But someone who's questioned on Arayas, he's a guy that doesn't follow rules. She doesn't care if she's married, doesn't care if she's not married, whether it's my Matukim or not. You can't trust this guy because he doesn't follow rules. So he's not good for to say that she's divorced, and he shouldn't be good to say that she's married either. He shouldn't be someone to be trusted in these inyonim.
It's a good point. That exactly was the Havaman of the Gemara. Yeah, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. Why does it have to be a trade-off? Why does it have to be either or? Why can't we say, listen, this guy is choshed farayas. We cannot believe a word he says in this area of halacha because he's always got some vested interest. I don't know, he wants this, he wants something else. It's a good point.
And how do you know which guy? You say, well, it's not always the case that he's Mayim Matukim. How do you know this guy? Maybe I'm Mayim Matukim, yes. Maybe Mayim Matukim, no. The point is, he's a guy who can't be trusted with Gilei Arayos. It's like having a guy. You know, he eats treif. You're going to make him your mashgiach in the restaurant. No, guy eats treif.
Right. Yeah. No, fair point. Fair point. Fair point. Now, let's have a look at the bottom Tosfos, a very important Tosfos. Hechoshud al harayos kosher le'edus. Zokt Tosfos. Tema, I have a question. Mai shno, what's the difference? Me oichol neveilois. L'te'avoin. We're going to see, Emet Hashem, coming up, that if somebody eats nevelos l'te'avoin, what does it mean l'te'avoin? We always know that there are two types of reasons why a person is over an avera. Either l'te'avoin, he just has a desire, he's got a yetzer. He doesn't particularly want to rebel against God, but he's just caving into his yetzer. He fancies eating a piece of nevela. Alternatively, we have somebody who's called an oichel lahachis. What does lahachis mean? He's doing so in order to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, obviously, somebody who's doing so to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always considered much more severe in halacha. But we're not discussing that for the moment. What's the halacha of somebody who eats nevelos l'te'ovoin from the word taiva? He's got a desire. We're going to see Mitz Hashem, not today, maybe later on in the week. In Daf Chof Zayin Omud Aleph, the Gemara says quite clearly that everybody agrees that he's posel. If you eat nevelos l'te'ovoin, then you're posel le'edus. How that ties into chomos or not chomos, we'll have to see at the time. So Tosfos is saying, if somebody eats nevelos, l'te'avoin, he's got a big taiva, and he's considered posel le'edus, why is la'aroyos kosher le'edus? Why is hechoshed al aroyos any better than a guy who eats nevelos? They're both Roshoim. They're both caving into their Yetzer Hara. Why is one kosher? Tosis brings another case. Tema mai shno me oichel nevelos de te'ovoin. Oh, umi ploini rovani l'ritzoini. We had this early on in Masechta. An issa of Mishkav Zohar, two males together, where somebody testifies that there was somebody else who had relations with me, but it was l'ritzoini. It was not forced. I acquiesced. So clearly, once again, he's admitting that he was over an Avera, he had a taiva, and over there, the halacha is the psulin le'edos. So we have two cases of where somebody committed an Avera because he had a taiva. Either it was a taiva to eat nevelos, or it was a taiva mishkav zocher, and in both of those cases, he's psul le'edos. So why is the Gemara saying that somebody who's choshed al aroyos is all of a sudden kosher le'edus? Why is he better than these two examples of aveiros? Says Tosfos, v'yesh loyma, d'mayri hocha, we're talking over here, b'choshed ba'alma.
Just suspect.
It's suspect. It's a suspicion. We have no clear evidence that he's done the aveira. Beloy Adim, there are no Adim de Ein Kan Ki Im Shmua. All there is there's a Shmua, there's a rumor, which, as we said before, a rumor is considered severe in halacha, it carries weight, but it's not the same as testimony. Umikol Mokim, nonetheless, even though it's true, there's only a Shmua, a rumor. Hard Amrin, on that which we say, Arboim Bekatve, quote unquote. Don't ask me a question, one second, if it's only a rumor, how on earth can you get 40 Malkus? Could Amrin on Malkin Aloitoiva Hashmur? Rashi quoted the same statement. Because a person would always even get Malkus just based on a rumor. So don't bring me proof just because he gets Malkus that we must be talking about there are Eidos. No, there's no Eidos. Why does he get Malkus? Because of the rumor. A rumor, in the case of Aroyos, is enough to give Malkus. So for the final analysis, yes, there may be Malkus, but there has not been any confirmation that the Avera has taken place. So therefore, if you're going to ask me, what's the difference between Nevelos and Mishkav Zocher and Choshed al Aroyos, says Tosfos, the answer is very obvious. Where the Avera has been confirmed with Eidos, yes, he'll be possible Eidos, because we know he's a Vadai Rosha. Whereas in our case, we're talking about that simply all he's done is he's been accused. There's been a suspicion, a rumor. A rumor, in the opinion of Rav Nachman, is not enough to render in posoleidos. That's the first teretz. Inami, alternatively, hocha mishum de yitzroi toikfoi. Here we're talking about he's got a yitzhara. The yitzhara got the better of him. V'loy domi lenevela v'gam l'revia de leke yitzroi toikfoi kol kach k'moy be'ervo. The Yetzirah that's pushing somebody to eat Nevela or Mishkav Zohar is not the same strength of Yetzirah that's pushing a person to regular, normal immorality. Therefore, what? If we're trying to work out who is considered more of a Rosha, more of a suspicious person, the answer is the greater the Yetzirah, the less of a Rasha necessarily he is, because he simply capitulated to his Yetzirah. And in a case of Nevela, there is a Yetzirah, it's true, no doubt about it, but it's not the same. Or Mishkav Zohar, there may be some type of Yetzirah, but it's not the same as regular normal Arayos. And if it's not the same as regular normal Arayos, so in the case of Arayos, where you have an overwhelming Yetzirah and he just fell into his Nisayon, there is not considered such a Rasha. So we have, therefore, according to Tosfos, two different tirutzim. Very, very important. Why is a choshed al arayos kosher le'edos, says Tosfos, for one of two reasons. And I hope everybody noticed that both of Tosfos's reasons were not the reasons given by Rashi. Again, Choshud al arayos, Rav Nachman said he's kosher le'edus. What did Rashi say? Rashi said because it's not chamos. It's not chamos. Tosfos is now giving a reason, either because he's actually not being confirmed as having over avera at all, it's just a suspicion, so I can't passel him le'edus, or because there is, in this particular case, an overwhelming Yetzirah. So when a person has an overwhelming Yetzirah, I'm not going to consider him a Rasha as such, because he simply capitulated. That's not the same as Nevela or Mishkav Zohar. Now, let's point out an important Nakuda. Does this mean, Rabbeisai, that we have a machloikus between Rashi and Tosfos? Rashi said the reason why he's kosher le'edos is because it's not chomos. Tosfos seems to have given two alternative explanations, neither of them anything to do with chomos, rather because of the Yetzirah, or because it's only a rumor. So it would sound like Tosfos is disagreeing with Rashi. Rabbeisai, when you think about it carefully, you'll notice that no, there is no machloikas lechoira between Rashi and Tosfos, and let me explain. Rashi says that the reason why he's kosher le'edos is because this is not chomos related. Tosfos says, one moment, I've got a case, let's say, of Mishkav Zohar. Mishkav Zohar is also not chomos related, and he's still posel. So that's why Tosfos had to bring in these svaras of Yetzirah or rumors. It's only in order to differentiate between regular arayos and Mishkav Zohar. So it could be that essentially he agrees to Rashi that the reason why a choshed al arayos is kosher le'edos is not chomos. It's just you'll ask a question. Sometimes we find that even in a case of non-chomos, like Mishkav Zohar or Nevelos, he is still considered posel le'edos. Ah, those cases are worse. Because over there, there's not such a strong Yetzirah, or over there, it's being confirmed. So therefore, it's not muchach, there's machlekes between Rashi and Tosfos. Yes, Reb Larry.
If we're determining that Nevelis and the other stuff, and maybe Mechal Shabbos and Treif are not subject to Yetzirah, this is Mamash or Russia, and falling in the area of Gili Arayos, the guy slipped up. Okay, so therefore,
Didn't say he's not
so
a Russia.
what?
We didn't say that. We said that both Yetzirah.
I
So
understand. No, but I have a question.
it says
So
it's not
therefore,
Yetzirah kol kach. It's not the same
no, I
level
got
as
it. Okay, so my question is, then why aren't we giving Malkus for a suspicion of the other Averis? Why is it only suspicion of Gili Arayos that there's Malkus? Why wouldn't there Malkus if there's suspicion of Mechal Shabbos, suspicion of eating treif, suspicion of Gneva? Why aren't there Malkus of suspicion there?
I'm not sure that there's not, to be honest. I'm not sure. I don't know what the answer to the question is. Good question. Pasuk says, Loi Toiva Hashmua. It doesn't say what the rumor is about. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So either way, this is really going to become now our central question over the next day or two, and in the whole coming of in the whole coming sugya, where does Hamas play a role? How strictly must we adhere to the Hamas rule? Because clearly, Chashad al-Arayos has nothing to do with Hamas. And in fact, that's why Rav Nachman says he's jolly well kosher for Eidos. But Rav Sheshet just didn't like that. Rav Sheshet says, oh, what do you mean? But he's getting Malkus. How can it be possible? How can it be kosher Eidos? Okay, I know he's getting Malkus, but it's not Hamas. So it might well be that we're going to have a discussion. Does it need to be Hamas related? Number one. And if it does, how closely must it be related to Hamas? We're going to see this. We're going to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to see the bottom of this sugya is also related to Hamas. And then the whole of Chaf Zayin and Medaraf is really all the same. Deep, deep sugyas, very geshmaka sugyas. But Mitzvah Hashem, we have a lot of work on our hands, Mitzvah Hashem.